deeply rooted in God and to God. Now, my journey started in this church about 34 years ago. And I'd like to share just a little bit of my journey over those 34 years till now. Just a few things of it. I came to this church as a saved Christian. And when Chris was talking about they were going to try out a couple of churches, my husband and I, had come from a church that we weren't too happy with. So we were going to try a couple of churches too. We were going to try this one and then the Baptist church and see what, you know. We got to this one and never left. So there must be something very compelling here, because I think that happens to a few people. So that was where my journey started. And I had not really grown beyond just simply being saved. It was here in this church that, through the good and the bad, and unfortunately sometimes the ugly, that God taught me, showed me, and guided me to where I am today. Now, I'm nowhere near finished the journey, but much further along than I was 34 years ago. We need to be deeply rooted in God and to God, but why? Here are my reasons for believing that we must be. First, to stand firm when the storms come. And I liked a couple of those songs that Chris picked out. He knew what I was speaking on, so thank you for that, Chris. They fit quite well. Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." I believe that being deeply rooted in God is part of the armor. When we have storms come, and they will, Jesus said we will have troubles and struggles in this world. The devil will try his best to undermine your faith, place doubts in your mind, and will try to cause you to blame God for your situation or circumstances. But this is what people will say about and notice about us if we are firmly rooted. Jeremiah 17:8 says, "They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." Can we just pray? Lord, I just ask that my words this morning would be your words, and that they would be a blessing to someone here, or hopefully everyone here in some small way. And I just thank you that I have this privilege to be able to speak your word. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So this is the vision that God gave me several months ago. And the vision was of a big tree planted by a beautiful stream with wildflowers around it and grass. And it was just beautiful. I can't really describe what it is, but and I thought, yes, God, I want that for me. And he said, you need to be deep-rooted. So I thought, okay, if I'm deep-rooted, then that's what's going to happen. I will have no fear, no worries about what's happening around me, and always bearing fruit. It's a beautiful picture of what we can and should be in Christ. But as we go along this journey, we need to remember that we may hit some potholes, challenges, and roadblocks that will try to slow us down or even stop us. In the King James Version, Psalm 1:3 says, And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. Now, I just have a short video that if you would please watch. It's about growing in the Lord.
How do we grow? By strength or resolve? Can we make it so? Can we shape the course of our lives according to our purpose and designs? Or add a single hour to the measure of our time? How can we ever venture into what is unknown when we are incapable of the smallest change on our own? Looking back over the span of our lives, we can see the marks that testify to how far we've come, how much we've grown, how much of His grace we have been shown. The marks of maturity on our lives, the evidence of the work of Christ, the seed that He has planted in our heart, the Lord has also watered and will refine every part. It is His intention to give it growth until it comes to fruition. He has sealed it with His oath that He who began this good work in you will see it through. In this lies our hope, not in what we do. But we do not grow alone. Our roots are intertwined, one with another, so that your strength is mine. While we wait in expectation, no growth can be seen. The tender shoots that so quickly spring up must grow strong, lest they remain frail and green. Would we be overwhelmed by perils in store that His timing seeks to prepare us for? Let us endure our trials with patience, for it's in His goodness that we trust and hold fast to our commitment, resting in His faithfulness to us. His goal is for our good. On this our assurance falls, that He who began this good work will surely make it grow tall.
So this journey, it can be beautiful as we walk it with Christ. When we are standing firmly rooted in Christ, we will be able to endure any and all trials that come our way. We may question and ask God why, but that's okay. He understands our hearts, and nothing we can ask, say, or do will surprise Him. So we will be like that firmly rooted tree that stands against extreme windstorms, heavy rain, and does not fall. We also can stand firm in Christ and weather the storm. So if we are like that deeply rooted tree, we will not fall when tragedy happens. We may bend some, but with Christ we will stand tall and straight again. Now, I'm not saying that we will not be tested, pulled low, or waver if a really big tragedy happens in our life. My biggest tragedy was when my husband Bryant died almost 4 years ago now. We had at that time been together for just over 36 years. That morning that I found him laying there so peacefully, but gone home to Jesus, was the moment a piece of my heart ripped out and went to Jesus with him. And it will never be whole again until I am reunited with Bryant and I meet Jesus in heaven. I had bad days. Some of the worst were Sunday mornings. I guess because Bryant died on a Sunday morning. Coincidentally, just about the same time, Pastor Jazz was praying for Bryant in the morning service. So we found out later. I found it hard to even go to church at first. Too many reminders. Hard days, especially the morning worship service for quite a while. Bryant had been our church drummer for over 30 years, and I would see and hear him so clearly playing the songs. The first Sunday, his best friend came home and played the piano. I think I cried the whole worship service because I pictured and remembered them and could hear them as they played together as they had for all those years. I had sad days. I was so lonely sometimes. The house felt so empty. I had never lived alone before. I had gone from my parents' house to my first marriage. And when that split up, I had my children at home. Then I met Bryant and we got married. So this was the first time I had actually ever been completely on my own. And it was a huge learning curve, I'll tell you. And I had a few days I was not very happy with Jesus for taking Bryant home. I had prayed for extra time. I did not want him to leave me. I know it was selfish on my part. But, you know, that's just the way we are. We're human. He was ready, but I wasn't. But as I prayed through those weeks and even months, I knew that God was in control, and it was all his timing. Bryant had been sick a long time, and I had to trust it was the best time for God to take him home to heaven. And it all helped. I felt Jesus holding me up, carrying me through. I felt Jesus' arms around me. I could feel his love telling me it was okay. The verse God sent me to was Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 4. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. This verse also helped me to realize and accept that God knew the when, where, and what of everything in our lives. As I read it over and over, it helped me heal and allowed my deep faith to come to my aid. If I had not had my deep faith, I would never have healed and adjusted to life without my best friend, soulmate, and love. I have no idea how people who do not have a strong, deep faith in Jesus, or do not even know Jesus, ever make it through times like this. Because of my faith in Christ, I was able to move forward into a new chapter in my life, to move into new areas of ministry for Christ. One unexpected witness I have now is talking about Bryant passing away and how I have such a strong peace about the future, knowing I will see him again in heaven. People are amazed at my calmness and assurance of what's to come. To be effective and do the work he has for me, I need to be even more firmly rooted in Jesus by praying more, studying his word even deeper, listening for his voice and obeying it, allowing Holy Spirit power to work in me and through me, daily living in his presence. Let me ask you, where are you in the journey? Beginning? Middle? Nearing the end? I hope today I will give you some help along your journey. If we know that Jesus is our hope for the future, we can celebrate our assurance that at some point he will decide that he wants us with him, and we can leave that decision to him. That frees us to concentrate on what he wants us to do for his kingdom here on earth with complete peace. To help us with getting peace, please allow the Spirit to work in you. We need to pray and seek what Holy Spirit wants to do in your life and my life. Hosea 14:5 says, like a cedar of Lebanon, he will send down his roots. His young shoots will grow. A large base is a strong base, meant to stand and expand. When we have our roots deep in Christ, it gives us a strong base to stand firm. He can use us to expand his kingdom, to enlarge his territory. I was thinking of how this applies to our church plant in Roberts Creek. And it's interesting to me that we use the word plant. That implies putting down roots, digging in, watering it with prayer, making it strong. We can do that because we are strongly rooted in Christ. We can stand strong and come against whatever the enemy throws at us. And he always does. He does not want God's kingdom expanded, takes away from his. In the case of Roberts Creek, he, Satan, has had a firm stronghold there for many years. It is going to take much prayer on our part and battle on the Lord's part to root him out. But nothing is impossible with God, and if we stand firm and pray, miracles will happen because Holy Spirit empowers us as we go out to do God's work. Do you believe? Some of us have been praying for years for Roberts Creek, believing in God's time we will see a breakthrough. We are still praying for that. Will you join us? Colossians 2:7 says, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. The two key words here are taught and thankfulness. Are you thankful? Am I thankful for all that Jesus has done for me, for you? Something to think about. The other key word here is taught. We must study, learn, ask God for wisdom and understanding so we can glean what God is saying to us. The more we study and learn, the better equipped we are to face the battles that come to us and more easily recognize when Satan is throwing something at us. We can then deal with it quickly before it does any harm. But one of the most important reasons we need to be deeply rooted in Christ is so we can understand, accept, and in turn give out God's love. Until we are firmly and deeply rooted in God and to God, until we study, pray, and grow close to him, how can we even begin to understand God's mighty love for us? Ephesians 3:17-19 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. A lot of power in those two words, all fullness. God's love is more than we can fully understand. But the closer to God we come, the more we will see it, feel it, and experience it in our relationship with Him. Just as you grow closer to your spouse, for example, your love for them grows deeper, and you feel and trust their love for you. So it is with us and God. The more we get to know Him, the more we trust Him and His amazing love for us. The New Living Translation says in Ephesians 3:17 says, "Then Christ will make His home in your heart as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong." I'm going to repeat that because I think that's such a beautiful way of putting it. Then Christ will make His home in your heart as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Beautiful way of putting it. As people, we struggle to believe that we can be so loved by Jesus. But to thrive in the world we live in that can be filled with anxieties and worries and pain, we need to be deeply rooted with the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. So it is the closer to God we get, the more we understand, the more He trusts us, we trust Him, the more He reveals to us, the more we see how the power of love works in us and through us, transforming not only our lives, but the lives of those around us also. The more we understand His love for us, we can begin to understand how much He loves all His children and wants all people to know His love. All people. Especially the not yet saved, need to see and hear of His love to see what they can have and experience. If we do not tell them, then who will? Is it not our commission to go out and minister to a hurting world? Did Christ not say to make disciples of the whole world? We may not be able to go to the whole world, but we have the whole Sunshine Coast. We have neighbors, co-workers, family, friends. Anyone we come into contact with is someone we can witness to, and they can become disciples also. Here is one of the Bible's most famous quotes about being rooted in God. I saw it in a bit of a different way when taken to mean to be deep-rooted. Matthew 7:24-27 says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." So if we drill down into the rock, Jesus, it will take more work and effort on our part, even some sacrifices in our lives to be a disciple, but we end up with a deep-rooted foundation that will hold us steady through everything. Could I ask the music team to come back, please? I would like to close with this personal story of a part of my journey to grow deeper in Christ. About 25 years ago, I became very ill, and that experience was one of my biggest times of growth. You see, I knew God could heal me. After major kidney surgery, and that journey with God is a story for another day that maybe at some point I'll get to share with you. It's a good story. I was left with chronic fatigue syndrome. Now, that is one nasty disease. There is no cure or medicine that really helps. But as I said, I knew God could heal me. He had healed me through Holy Spirit twice before. And I believed what the Bible said about healings. I prayed and prayed. Others prayed, but nothing. This went on for several months as I grew angrier and angrier with God. You can play something if you want. Finally, one day, I was so tired, literally. Chronic fatigue is just like it sounds. But also tired spiritually, tired of fighting with God, being angry, and just not happy or enjoying life much at all with my grumpy and bad attitude. So I played a rather short and abrupt prayer, but surrendered to God and told him I would accept in obedience that if he wanted me this way for the rest of my life, okay. Like Paul, I would accept that his grace was enough for me. The peace I felt was amazing. I could move on to live the best I could in my circumstances for him at that point. It was about a month later in the morning worship service. Right about there. My friend who was standing beside me turned to me and said, "God has a healing for you." She touched the top of my head, and it was like warm electricity flowed through my body and out my toes. Everything faded. It was just God and me. It felt like hours, but I'm sure it was only 1 or 2 minutes. But within a couple of hours afterwards, I realized the chronic fatigue was gone. That healing allowed me to move into a whole new area of ministry that the Lord then made very clear to me he wanted me in, and taught me that all I needed to do was trust my deep-rooted faith again. He was just waiting for me to come to him in obedience. I am maybe bent a little, but I did not break, and I became much, much stronger. If you have never developed deep roots, I encourage you to start today. I would encourage you to join a Bible study, pray more, talk to God, ask him to help you through Holy Spirit. Talk to Pastor Jazz, a board member, and get some ideas and guidance on how to proceed. We're a family. We would be honored to help you in any way we can. Remember, God loves you more than you can imagine and only wants what is good and perfect for you. And remember, a big part of it is you have to trust Jesus on the path, hard or easy, he chooses for you to walk to get you there. Thank you.